Okay, if I could have your attention, please. We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. I'm serving as the acting chair here until we get to the item where we appoint officers. With that, then, we'll go ahead and have the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So with that being said, we'll move on to the number three, appointment of officers. I think the first thing is to acknowledge the receipt of the written appointment of the directors and the alternate directors from Los Osos Community Service District, the County of San Luis Obispo, S&T Mutual Water Company, and Golden State Water Company. And I'd just like to start, if we could start from Bill, introduce yourself and your alternate.
Bill Garfinkel, S&T Mutual Water Company. I'm the director. And our alternate director is Mr. Lee Harry, who's sitting there in the audience.
Mark Zimmer, Golden State Water Company, director, and Rob Hanford, alternate.
Marshall Ohilski, I'm the director from Los Osos Community Service, Community Services District. Chuck Cicina is our alternate.
And I'm Bruce Gibson, San Luis Obispo County. Mark Hutchinson of our Public Works Department is my alternate.
Okay, with that then, we'll go to the appointment of officers. Before we go in there, do we have any public comment on appointment of officers? Okay, seeing none.
Mr. Ohilski, I make a motion that we appoint you as the chair.
Can I modify that appointment? I would like to just maybe do a slate of officers, and I would like make the motion that Director Ohilski is chair, that Director Zimmer is vice chair, that Director Gibson is treasurer, and Director Garfinkel is secretary.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, Ann, could you call the roll, please?
Director Garfinkel?
Yes.
Supervisor Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmer?
Yes.
Mr. Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, I'd like to just say a few introductory comments, if I could. I think it's our goal with this Basin Management Committee to have this as a working committee so that we actually can work productively together on the Basin Management Plan and the Basin Management financing. So I'd just like to encourage everybody to participate, but I'd really like to keep this on a civil level so we don't get into any personal things, just as a, you know, to preempt things. So hopefully we can work together. We're going to try to work with everybody in the audience. We want everybody in the audience to work with us, and we really want to make this a productive group. We have a really, really short time frame to act, as you know, not only under the parameters of the ISJ, the court judgment, but also just under the parameters of the necessity to take care of our seawater intrusion. So that's all I have to say. I would just encourage your participation, but again, let's try to make this a productive working group. Okay, with that then, we'll move to action item number four, the appointment of the interim executive officer.
Public comment?
Yes. Well, I was going to introduce the item.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll just go ahead and read this. Under the stipulated judgment, the Basin Management Committee has the option to present, or pardon me, to appoint an executive director, or the committee chairman would be the executive director. In this particular case, I think we'd like to look at appointing an interim executive officer who would handle basically the day-to-day operations of this. We've laid out in our staff report the tasks that this person would be charged with. Some of these, again, are under time frames that are included in the stipulated judgment, so we have a short time frame. Some of these are a little bit longer. But again, there is a sense of urgency just because of our needs of the seawater intrusion. So the action plan for the interim director, or pardon me, the interim executive officer would be, first of all, rules and regulations for our committee. Secondly is the annual budget for the committee. Third is to develop a conflict of interest code. Fourth is submission of a stipulation to DRW, consistent with the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. Next is grant funding for the Basin Management Committee, implementation plan for the preparation of the Los Osos Basin Annual Report, options and implementation plan for the Basin Plan funding, establishment of a Basin Management Committee website. So that's the task that we have laid out for the appointment of interim executive director. I think the idea here is that this person would be appointed and they would basically help us get on our feet and get the organization running and operating. So do we have any public comment on this particular item? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
I'll move we appoint Rob Miller as our interim executive officer.
I'll second that.
Any more discussion? Okay, Ann?
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Gerfink?
Yes.
Director Zimmer?
Yes.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that then, we'll move to action item 4B, which is a request from the County of San Luis Obispo to explore the basin boundary modification for the Los Osos groundwater basin. And with this, I'll turn it over to our technical expert here. I think the staff report is available on this item, and it was posted on our website, I know, and there are some copies in the back.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, thank you. Yes, there should be also copies of the staff report in the back supporting our little presentation here. I want to introduce to you Carolyn Berg, who is from our County Public Works Water Resources Division. She is the lead in our SGMA efforts, and part of the concept of a basin boundary adjustment is we want to take the opportunity, we have an opportunity to match the plan area with, you know, because we have good data now to support that is the correct boundary for the basin. And since the Bulletin 118 is needing to be updated, and Carolyn, I'd like to hand it over to you.
Okay, great. So thank you. So I'm Carolyn Berg. I do work in our Water Resources Division of the Public Works Department. And so I'm going to be clicking slides, so sorry if I move away from the speaker. What I wanted to do is give a very brief overview of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act for anyone who's not already familiar with this. So I'll be referring to it as SGMA, S-G-M-A. And basically, it's a new California state law that went into effect on January 1st of 2015. And what it seeks to do, basically, is for the state to hand over local management of groundwater basins for local control. And then it also provides for authorities, in which case the state can step in as an authority figure if groundwater management does not lead towards sustainable basins. And so what they mean when they talk about sustainable groundwater management is mitigation of undesirable results. So that looks, for the state, that means lowering of groundwater basins, seawater intrusion, degraded water quality, land subsidence, where you have the land sinking, basically compressing downward from overuse of the water. It's also depletion of interconnected surface waters. So any of those types of results that the state is seeing in basins leads them to believe that the groundwater basin is not being sustainably managed. And so they're looking for locals to step up and start managing their basins, the demands and the supplies, in order to ensure that the groundwater basin goes back into good health, we'll say. The state law also requires that there's no uncovered areas in a basin. Otherwise, the state has the option to step in and take enforcement actions. And then kind of lastly on this big picture overview is that it does allow for certain exemptions for adjudicated basins that are listed in the law. And among those is the Los Osos groundwater basin. So there's certain exemptions within that part of the law. And then I just provide this quick overview of schedule. As Ray said, the basin boundary modification is one of the first actions that the state's allowing to be taken. But basically, after this law went into effect on January 1st, the state has been working on regulations that then support the code. So defining what a groundwater sustainability plan is and how basins show the state that they're achieving sustainability. So there's a whole list of deadlines there that are coming up over the next 2 years for basins, especially those that are not adjudicated. And then for local dates, it allows for kind of one of the first steps that we can take is on January 1st through March 30th of 2016, groundwater basins are allowed to apply to the state for basin boundary modifications based on scientific or jurisdictional reasoning. And you put together an application package that basically supports what your request is to the state, and then they have the opportunity to evaluate that. And if it's accepted, then that becomes the new groundwater basin that has to comply with the state law. Other deadlines that apply here locally, by April 1st of next year, this basin would need to submit all of the paperwork related to the adjudication process and the stipulated judgment for the state's evaluation to see if it complies with SGMA. And then thereafter, there's an annual report due on April 1st of each year. And then for other basins throughout the county, there's a deadline that by June 30th of 2017, the basins must form their basically the groundwater management entity for their basin or entities. And then by January 31st of 2022, that basin needs to adopt a groundwater management plan. Very likely it'd be similar to the basin management plan that Los Osos has. And then those basins have 20 years to actually implement the plan and show that they've achieved sustainability by that point. So that's kind of the overview. And then just a quick overview, this as it applies to the whole county, there's 22 basins defined in the state's groundwater report, their Bulletin 118 report. Most of those are the small coastal basins you see, but among those, there's five high and medium priority basins that have to achieve those near-term priority deadlines. So that's the Paso Robles groundwater basin, the Coyama down in our southeast corner of the county. We share that basin with three other counties, Ventura, Kern, and Santa Barbara. Then we also have the Santa Maria groundwater basin, which is, for the most part, exempt through the adjudication process as well. And that's shared with Santa Barbara County. And then we have San Luis Obispo Valley, which at the moment, the way the state has defined the boundaries, it touches the end of the Los Osos groundwater basin. And that's another one of our medium priority basins. And then lastly, we have the Los Osos groundwater basin, which is called out as a priority basin by the state. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Ray and let him talk through specifics of Los Osos.
So as you can see there, the black and white dotted line is the plan area for the Basin Management Committee's plan area, for the which is the adjudicated basin boundary that has been approved by the court. And we believe that this boundary does correspond to the latest updated model. And Carolyn, if you can go to the next slide, please. This one is a little bit hard to read, but I think that there is, in your staff report, a handout of this as well. As you can see, that there's a purple line that overlays the Bulletin 118 boundary, which is the green hatch area in that figure. That there is the boundary that's in question that we hope that we can submit an application to the DWR for them to adjust their boundary to more likely conform to the latest updated basin model that we have. So there's two actions that I'm asking for your feedback for the BMC, and I'll repeat this at the end. Actually, three, because we do want your feedback on this presentation. But the first action that we are requesting as county staff is, will the Basin Management Committee want us to submit a basin boundary application? That's one. And that's a number three on the recommendations of the staff report. And then the other thing, too, is we would like to also discuss and perhaps to approve a cost-sharing approach and also agree with our public process strategy. So that's essentially the second action that I'm hoping can come out of this presentation. So knowing that, keeping that in mind, if the Basin Management Committee agrees to those recommendations, our proposed schedule is such. On January 5th, 2016, our staff is proposing to submit to our Board of Supervisors the initial notification of interest in exploring a basin boundary modification to DWR. So essentially, we as the local agency would move forward to submitting this application. With that, there's a lot of things on this schedule, which is also in your staff report. But a couple of things I want to highlight is, you know, we do intend to publish the draft of the basin boundary modifications, and we propose a public comment period, if you notice, between January 22nd to February 11th. But within that time period, we propose a public meeting via the Basin Management Committee, using this as a forum for a public meeting, and we propose that on January 28th. So when we're discussing the future schedule for the Basin Management Committee, we hope to schedule the public meeting to discuss the basin boundary adjustment on January 28th. And then we will receive, you know, the comments and such, but we still need to go back to our board sometime in March. Since we would be the local agency that's submitting the application, we still need approval by our board to submit the application, and the application will be due March 30th of 2016. So that's the proposed schedule. And then, Carolyn, go. Oh, you have any more comment? Yeah.
And I'll just add to that if the county were the submitting agency or whoever is, during that February-March timeframe, all the other affected local agencies would also take action, either to support or oppose a basin boundary modification process as well. So that's just something else to note for yourselves.
Correct. So as part of the proposed cost allocation, the approximate cost of the technical study is about $20,000, and the reason for that is we have hired Cleith Harris and Associates, who have the updated model, who did a lot of the model studies for the Basin Management Committee. Prior was the ISJ to update the model. And there are certain parts of the basin that we need to present a technical memo to the DWR in support of some of these boundaries. So just to be sure that it's very clear in our application, like the whole scientific basis behind our claims. And the other proposal that I propose, that since this is going to cost some money for us to do, that we do a cost allocation percentage based on the what was stated in the stipulated judgment, CSD at 38%, Golden State at 38%, County 20%, and S&T at 4%. So hopefully this can be an item for a discussion if we want to go with our proposed cost allocation. Keep in mind, too, that I think our next meeting, we're hoping to solidify the budget and perhaps discuss the zone of benefit options. Those are also options that we can discuss here as well, which we are definitely open to. But at the very least, since these studies need to take place soon, I propose that we do some kind of memorandum of understanding that outlines the cost per allocation percentage as stated in the stipulated judgment. And I think that's the end of my presentation, unless, Carolyn, you have anything else to add. All right. We are open to questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions before we go to public comment? Mark?
Yeah. Starting with the first one regarding submission, I think Golden State does want you to submit, but we'd want to definitely review it before the submission, bring it before this committee, and have an opportunity to look at that before it's submitted. So we're on board with that. And then the cost sharing, looking at that, just to make sure that we stay in balance with our estimated cost, if there is some measures that we can put in there to, like, not to exceed as far as Spencer Harris, his obligations or something of that nature, and, you know, tracking the cost that, you know, they're only for outside sources and things like that, and that we have clear definition of county time and costs separate from this. And then the third item was the date to hold this before the public meeting. You know, I agree that we should bring this back and hold it before the public in this purview. That's it. Okay, thanks.
Any other questions, Bruce? No. Okay, we'll go to public comment. Again, the item we're discussing right now is the discussion about the groundwater basin boundary modification. So if you have some comments specific to that, now is your opportunity.
My name is Al Barrow. The first thing I'd like to say, I thought it's pretty arrogant of the county to go ahead and spend $20,000 without having the first meeting here. You know. And number two, I think that what's missing from this agenda is a regular schedule, a schedule of this committee's meeting. And number three, you haven't defined, in my view, what kind of entity you are, but you're actually a new governing body. And the county has the authority to do 218. I didn't interrupt you. Come on.
We're speaking right now specifically about the boundaries. So if you want
to speak. Well, the boundaries, he's just talking about a grant for the boundaries.
We're just talking about right now just on the boundaries, not the organization of the committee or anything.
Okay.
That, you can speak about that in general public comment.
That's
but right
fine.
Now.
But the boundaries have a lot to do with how much money you're going to spend for it. And we've just heard the county representative say that he's already decided to issue a contract to someone. That should have been discussed here in this meeting with these people and what the conditions were. And Golden State has already said he wants some conditions on that. So I think, you know, really going forward without the committee's direction is in error. So I'm concerned about that. And, you know, how the cost is going to be spread and all that. It's, you know, he's determined that it's already going to be the way he said it was going to be. You only represent 20% of the vote on this committee. So I think you need to back off a little bit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Edwards. I support the Bulletin 118 boundary adjustment, but it was my understanding the science was fairly determined on this question already. The budget, we've heard about $20,000 for Cleath and Harris. What about staff time, county staff time, legal staff time? My question is, what's the total cost of this endeavor? Again, I support it, but I don't think we should make this a big deal. I understand there's a series of steps that are required under the state law, but let's keep it simple. I think we have ample documentation of where our boundary is, and I think it's sufficient information to make the case with DWR. So let's not spend another $20,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 doing what appears to be a fairly perfunctory item. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, Keith.
My name is Keith Weimer, and I too support the boundary adjustment. Like Jeff, though, I thought it was defined, and I thought it was defined also in the stipulated judgment. It seemed to have pretty specific recommendation there. So I, too, would suggest that we look at whether that $20,000 is needed, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody that is using, the basin now is included in that, because when it comes to dividing up the costs, we want to make sure everybody that's benefiting from the basin is part of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back. If I could ask a couple of the questions that you could maybe address. The one question was that came up repeatedly was, isn't the boundary already defined? So could you maybe address that one first?
Yes, correct. Yes, the boundary is already defined. And And I also will ask Rob if you can chime in on this, but let me explain how
Rob's
I understand.
Rob's now our interim executive officer, so.
Yeah. So I think the, some deference.
There are other boundaries that were done upon further review, boundaries from the USGS also has a clear boundary of this. But there's just some minor uncertainties in the eastern board, in the eastern boundary, that a technical study needs to be formalized in order for the DWR, in order to present a solid case to the DWR. And there was also some new data that wasn't done, some geological studies that was done prior to when USGS had their study came out on the southwest portion where there was a fault line. Some of those studies weren't done yet when the USGS did their boundary study back in the early 80s. So those things just needs to be formalized in a technical memo and summarized. So, you know, that $20,000, by the way, it hasn't been spent. And we had agreed when this committee used to be the ISJ that we were wanting to pursue this. So we were just moving. We haven't moved forward on this. That's why we're asking for the Basin Management Committee's okay on it before we actually move forward. But as far as those technical memos need to be generated in order to present a solid case. And if Rob, you have anything else to add.
Yeah, I think that's essentially what I was going to say, other than the guidelines for, you know, what is the threshold for enough information? Because we do have a lot of information in the basin plan, a lot of historical context and all of that. But the guidelines are fairly recent as to all the steps they want you to walk through, the specific work products they want to see. And so those were the things that were presented to Cleith to try to come up with the minimum effort necessary to pull this off and get it submitted. So that's a little bit of the historical background. I do think it will cover all the users. When you compare the actual physical basin boundaries to the plan area in the plan, we made sure to rope in those who were benefiting from the basin in the plan area, not just the ones who were physically able to drill a high-producing well. So I think that's handled.
Yeah. And did you have something to add, Ray? No.
Oh, no.
I just think the other question that was brought up was about staff time for this issue. And I think that's something that we're going to be talking about as a committee and you're going to be working on is how do we do in-kind work and how do we equal it out so everybody's paying their fair share. But if you want to touch bases on that.
Yeah, I think I would. I know that, of course, there's expertise at this table and with our extended staff on all sides. And I would think the idea would be that everyone contributes their own staff time and that there's not an expectation of reimbursement unless it's explicitly discussed here. So we wouldn't be expecting invoices to be flying around for staff time.
Any other questions anybody heard from the audience? Okay, then Bruce.
Just in terms of the county staff time, I don't see, as in my conversations with staff, there wasn't a huge amount in getting the board items prepped and in front of the board, which is really the most of what we seem to do, Ray. Is that about right?
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, very good. I did have a question about the meeting dates posed here on the January 28th meeting. Is that the idea that would be a meeting conducted to take public comment in a formal setting?
Yes, and it's also, thanks for bringing that up. And it's also the opportunity for agencies such as Golden State. I know Director Mark Zimmer talked about that and how they want to provide input. And that's the whole idea with that is every agency that is affected will have an opportunity to comment publicly, and yes, that's correct.
Okay, and then the meeting on the 18th of February, is that thought to be a meeting of the Basin Management Committee to actually agree to the final form of the request?
Yes.
Give or take the establishment of a meeting schedule, we can expect somewhere near the end of January some kind of forum to receive public comment. Sometime in the middle of February, the Basin Management Committee will meet to decide that, yes, this is the specific boundary request.
Correct, yes.
Okay. That sounds reasonable. Just in terms, unless friends on the dais here have other questions, It seems to me quite reasonable that we do a not to exceed $20,000.
My only comment on that is that I think we can agree to do that, but for example, I have to go back to my board to ask for specific authorization,
as you do too.
But I think we'd set a parameter for this committee to exceed.
You know, I'm ready to frame a motion that will give some direction, but I mean, we have to, as a Basin Management Committee, agree to the cost sharing, and I think we can maybe agree in principle at this point, seeking, you know, further verification from our individual authorities.
Before you go there, I was going to ask this question. It was my understanding, and we have legal counsel out there, but it was my understanding from the ISJ that those proportions are already allocated, not for specific expenses, but that's the sharing that we have on the votes, et cetera. So is that, I mean, that 38-38-24 is our allocation of votes we have right now. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that's where the basis of those numbers were
from. And so shall we, going forward, so we don't have to discuss this in detail, on any point that we consider expending money, we're expecting that the split is going to be according to that unless there's some explicit discussion to the contrary. I think that would be fine. Again, I defer to colleagues, but I'm prepared to move that we make this request.
Does either of you have any comments above and beyond what you've already made?
No, not me.
Bill?
None for S&T.
Okay.
So I would move we request the Board of Supervisors start the process of boundary modification, that this board directs its staff that we endorse in concept the schedule that's laid out in our staff report pending pinning down the exact dates of Basin Management Committee meetings, and that we agree to seek authority from our respective boards and other officers on a contract not to exceed $20,000 according to the normal cost split.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I would just ask for a clarification, I think, on two items. If I understood correctly, and I know I heard it, but there was some discussion, there was some maybe unknowns on the eastern boundary of the basin. So all of that is going to be, that's primarily what's driving a lot of this expenditure?
Yes,
as well as the new regulations.
Yes, those two issues are the basis of this, yes.
Okay. And then what we're saying right now is we're authorizing them to spend $20,000, but the allocation is something we'll have to come back with after we've spoken with our individual entities.
I think it's an interesting question. Who would the contract with Cleith Harris be with?
They would be working for the county flood control district.
Okay. So we'll make that explicit.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to clarify.
Right. So are we...
So we would reimburse...
Correct, yes.
Okay. That's what I wanted to clarify, how that wasn't going to work.
And so would you envision simply going out and forming that contract while members of the committee go to secure the necessary authority for reimbursement? Or we want to come back and do this again? I think we need to get going on this.
Yeah, I was going to propose to send some letter of, like, a memorandum of understanding to all the agencies and, you know, with your, you know, and then get your approvals that way. That's how I envisioned it to go.
If that's acceptable to my colleagues, I'll make that part of my motion.
Yeah, I just have a clarification. So what is the time frame for getting the Cleith Harris study and the additional supplemental information? Are you looking to have that by the January 28th meeting? Or?
Yeah, we're essentially canceling Spencer's Christmas. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there you go.
No, they really need to get going on this because... A significant publication of the draft is January 22nd.
Right.
So yeah, we needed to move rather quickly on this, and that's why, you know, we need to give him a good month to actually work on it. So.
So you're thinking that would be included in the public draft that's published on January 22nd.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have any other questions. Anybody else have comments or questions? Okay, we have a motion. Any more discussion? Okay, seeing none.
Gibson?
Yes.
Zimmer?
Yes.
Garfinkel?
Yes.
Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that then, we'll move to adoption of future meeting schedule. I don't know if we have anybody that wants to public comment on that, but
Public comment on future meeting schedule? Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Edwards. My only comment would be I would hope these meetings would be not during the day and at 5 p.m. or maybe a little bit after that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comment? Oh, one more comment.
Yes, Patrick McGibney. I just would hope that they would be as frequently as possible and as soon as possible.
Thank you. Vicki?
If it's going to be on January 28th, I need to know fairly quickly what time of day so that I could arrange the LOCAC meeting around it.
Right. Okay, any other public comment? Okay, seeing none. What I would like to suggest is that there are basically two options available, the daytime meeting or the evening meeting that we have to discuss. And then I think what we'd like to do is come up with a regular day and, you know, be it the third Wednesday or whatever, so we have the meeting formally scheduled. And then if we need to do interim meetings to cover something that's come up, we would do that. Now, we've checked if we're going to go to a daytime meeting Wednesday or is the best day for the community center. It's the day that we have the best accessibility here. And I know there's, we've talked about this when we were on the ISJ, whether a night meeting or a day meeting was better. So that's just something I think we need to talk about. So anyways, Wednesdays, if we're going to a day meeting, are the best day. So with that, somebody.
Is that the best day? I think with the person with the tightest schedule, though, is Mr. Gibson. Is Wednesday a best
Wednesday,
day for you?
Wednesday would be the first or second Wednesday of the month. And I don't know whether are we expecting a monthly meeting schedule until such time as we see that there's less need for that?
I think at this point we would go with the monthly schedule because okay. We do, if you look at the executive director's tasks, we've got to get the bylaws, we've got to get all that stuff done. So there's a lot of stuff in the short term.
We've got to get the zone of benefit going. So I would suggest, first of all, if we can agree by consensus that monthly is necessary for the time being, and we could map that out for 2016, first or second Wednesday at 1:30 works very well for me. I think the other consideration, and I certainly respect the public's concern about having evening meetings being convenient for some, but we have a lot of technical staff that some of whom have to come from a great distance, some of whom in the county have to be compensated for evening time. So I think in terms of efficiency, and given that this is a working group, that I would propose we start with a 1:30 start for the foreseeable future. If you know there's specific reason to gather public comment, we can always schedule or reschedule the meeting on a special basis. But from my standpoint, either the first or second Wednesday, 1:30 works great.
Yeah, if I could comment on that. I think, for example, and this is the January 28th meeting that you threw out there, I mean, that may be a meeting that we want to make public
right.
and have it in the evening
right.
so we get broader-based input from the
right.
community, whereas the technical committees we could have in the day. But I see if we go with a regularly scheduled monthly meeting that the first example of something that's out an outlier is that January 28th
right.
meeting. So.
Exactly.
Then I understand then we now say in our next meeting would be on the 28th?
The first or second Wednesday.
No. So we would have another meeting in addition to the 28th. Okay, I don't think the first Wednesday would work for me. That's a RAC. First
okay.
Wednesday is
sure.
a RAC meeting,
second
and I some of your staff will be there too, so
right.
that would be difficult.
Second.
Yeah. Well, just for Golden State, they, you know, I think it's valuable to have our water resource manager here at these meetings, valuable input. The first Wednesday is the time that he can make that. Second Wednesday, he would not. He already has prior commitment for that. So,
I think the conflict with Iraq is pretty significant, so I think we can't have that conflict on our meeting date.
Could I suggest maybe that we just give staff independently our preferred dates and have them bring it back at the next scheduled meeting, an item that speaks to it? We can, I don't think we necessarily have to agree in detail now. If we're solid on you know, what's our noticing requirement for a meeting is 72 hours per the Brown Act. You know, we're going to shoot for getting a public comment meeting in the latter part of January. Is there a way we can figure out a meeting for the early part of January? And the, you know, having said that, the 13th of January doesn't work for me, although I do have an alternate, and we do have alternates available here. So,
yeah, it's my understanding, because of the 90-day time frame in the stipulated judgment, that there are some things that we have to do in the short term. So I think we do need to meet in the beginning of January, above and beyond that second meeting, which would be a public input meeting. So I think, I mean, if you guys are comfortable turning that over to staff, but I don't know.
I believe that date's January 12th also. Do we have to have that in?
12th?
Yeah.
That we have to have?
We have to have this stuff done by then.
By the 12th.
Right.
Okay.
If that, not everything, that, but that's right, the item that are required by the stipulated judgment that we have to have completed by that date.
Doesn't it say in our judgment that we have to give 10 days notification for meetings?
No,
I've confirmed that
with our attorneys, and they've both told me it's 72 hours. Oh, Tim, do you want to speak to that?
I believe there is a reference to providing 10 days notice once we have a list of interested parties who have requested such notice.
Okay. And we'll be developing, that's one of the interim executive directors will be developing that. But we do have to take action within that 90-day period on certain items, which is going to put a lot of stuff on your plate, unfortunately. But we've got our Los Osos CSD board meeting on the 7th. I mean, we're really looking at doing it that first week of January, correct?
That's what it seems like.
Or, Mr. Chair, Monday the 11th possibility?
Monday the 11th is a possibility.
Kind of
a
what was the deadline for that again? I'm sorry.
The 12th.
12th, January 12th.
I would rather have a little time in case there's something that comes up that we need to direct staff to come back.
It's because of my own constraints that previous week. I can do it on the 4th or the 5th.
The afternoon of the 4th is...
The 5th would work for me, but you got board meeting
that day. Board of Supervisors. You know, I realize there's a conflict with the RAC, but maybe on a one-time deal or an alternate's participation, the afternoon of the 6th, the Wednesday the 6th would work.
I can't do the 6th, but is the 4th available?
It's not available for me, unfortunately.
Okay.
The 5th is a Tuesday.
Yes.
Correct.
No.
I could do it any time during the day on the 5th.
The 5th in the afternoon works. Any time after 11 works for me.
You know, it may be that the 5th is available for all of us if the board meeting goes short that day. It's the first board meeting of the year,
okay.
So it's possible.
Okay. And plus we have Mr. Hutchinson, could I ask, are you available on the 5th?
And I'd like to ask Mr. Harry, are you available on the 5th? Okay.
Okay. That being said, why don't we shoot to have our next meeting on the 5th here at 1:30? Assuming that it's available, we'll have to check on that.
Okay. And time in the early afternoon.
I said, yeah, 1:30.
As available,
yeah.
1:30.
1:30 or whatever time is available. And then we'll leave it up to staff to report back to us at that meeting for the long-term meeting schedule, as well as when we'd have that public session at the end of January.
That sounds good.
Everybody on board with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Staff got our interim executive director. You have adequate direction?
Yes.
You know I'm not going to let you loose on this.
Not quickly, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have that one. So next item is establish the principal office, and obviously this is not an office where there's going to be business transacted, but we do need to have a physical location. We want to have a physical location in the community, so the CSD has volunteered to act as that physical location. So anybody have public comment on that item? Okay, seeing none, I think we can just agree with that by consensus.
Yep. Chair. The records that are going to be kept for the Basin Management Committee, so there will be a separate storage and area at the CSD offices for keeping our records. There's a number of documents that's going to have to be submitted. And so.
I'm sure we could probably find space. I'll talk to CSD staff about
or
it.
Okay. Wallace Group can provide space.
Or we can provide space, yeah.
All right, so everybody's fine with that?
Yes.
Okay, so what we have now is public comment for items not appearing on the agenda. I would just like to throw out a qualifier, as I mentioned before. I'd really like to see this as a working group where we have back and forth communication that's freely given. So I'd like to make sure that we try to stay on task. Again, this is for items that are not on the agenda that we haven't already discussed and for items that are underneath our purview, because some items obviously you may want to discuss aren't under our purview. So with that being said, you'll have 3 minutes. If you could line up over there, we could move a little more productively, it would be appreciated. Okay, with that then, we'll go to Al first.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow. Some notes I checked was you need a mission statement. You need to schedule that mission statement in a public agenda where the public can be available, probably an evening meeting, I think. So that would be an important. Also, I think you need to put potential costs out there in the future. I don't think people understand what this group is yet. I mean, you guys do, some of you. But what kind of entity is it? Well, it's a government entity with powers to collect. If you read the judgment, the 44 pages, it tells you that you have the powers to collect, to spend, to build, and to own facilities, to hire consultants, and basically the powers of another new government in Los Osos. So I think people need to understand that there's going to be an impact here, and what are the potential financial costs here? That concerns all of us, not only the agencies, that are the four agencies, but also the public. And I would like to point out that the public is burdened with a very expensive sewer bill, about $160, $70 a month for the next 40 years. And so for low-income households, and about 45% of the population here are renters, that's a difficult burden. So I think you need to consider or have the alternate committees work on some kind of strategy to suggest affordability strategies. One of them, of course, is getting grants and funding, getting free money to offset those costs. But we see in ABCD of the Basin Draft Plan that it could be maybe $40 million. It's hopefully not going to be that. So that was one of. So if you can describe what kind of organization you are, interpret the stipulated judgment into a definable, simple, several a page or a couple paragraphs where we can understand what we are embarking on. We know that we want to save our basin, and that's a really good thing. But how we go about it is a choice that we have to make smart, informed decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
Yes, again, my name is Patrick McGibney. I'm a longtime resident of Baywood Los Osos area, and I'm acting chair of the executive committee of the local chapter of San Luis of the Sierra Club. Over the years, the local chapter has submitted several analyses and recommendations for improvement to the basin plan and stipulated judgment. This has been done because we believe the basin is an irreplaceable entity and that there are correctable deficiencies in the plan and the agreement. In the 1970s, the basin's two pristine lower aquifers held over 80% of our water. They were filled with pure fossil water, thousands of years old, untouched by modern contaminants. Almost 40 years later, half of the basin has been contaminated by seawater, and we are facing the real possibility of now losing our basin. The reason has always been overpumping, but it goes deeper. It's also the failure of the parties to grasp the value of this resource enough to put its survival above other considerations. the basin plan and stipulated judgment still fail to put the basin first, leaving it vulnerable to droughts, climate change, the Los Osos wastewater project impacts, and even the impacts of its own proposed infrastructure programs. Assuming imported water and/or desalinization could replace drinking water for the residents, these water resources cannot replace the vital fresh water that the basin supplies to Morro Bay Estuary and the surrounding habitats, and these outside sources are not likely to be financially feasible. With your estimated cost of at least $100 million for desalinization to replant only one lost aquifer, plus the cost of the wastewater project and the various programs required for the basin plan, our community would be bankrupt. And that's assuming the Coastal Commission would even approve desal or imported water in the first place for a squandered basin. The basin plan acknowledges that seawater intrusion is the most serious problem facing the basin for the foreseeable future, and that bold, decisive, and immediate action is needed to save it. We agree. This requires setting time-specific measurable objectives, improving conservation, reuse, and monitoring programs, putting contingency plans in place, and metering and monitoring private wells, and defining sustainable yields so that it protects the basin. The Sierra Club supports your efforts to restore this irreplaceable water source as soon as possible. Towards that end, I request that you agendize time-specific measurable objectives, improved conservation and reuse programs, and contingency plans for the near future of the next meetings. Thank you.
Thank you. Keith.
My name is Keith Weimer.
Before you start, should I just add one thing? If people have technical comments or technical reports that they'd like to submit, if you could get them to Rob so we'd have those available to us.
Could I respond to that? We have submitted quite a few things, and we hope that you still have those in your possession. We can resubmit them if necessary.
I think that would be helpful just to make sure we have files of everything. Sure. And I know you've submitted a lot of stuff. So with that, I'll start your three minutes now.
Thanks. My name is Keith Weimer. I'm the founder of the Los Osos Sustainability Group and chair of the Water Committee of the local chapter of the Sierra Club. Both groups have submitted several lists of basic deficiencies in the plan and also recommendations for essential improvements. And I'll restate some of those now. The plan needs time-specific measurable objectives and benchmarks for implementing programs and reversing seawater intrusion. This is a bottom line for any effective management plan. You must also improve conservation and reuse programs. The conservation program has almost no outdoor component, and the recycled water program has very little urban reuse. These are the most effective measures for reversing seawater intrusion. The basin plan adopts the wastewater project conservation program, and the coastal development permit for the project requires the county to spend $5 million to help basin residents reduce water use as much as possible, as soon as possible. But after 4 years, the county has spent only $1.3 million, and the program has fallen well below targets. Very few washers were replaced, and almost no recirculators. Gray water systems were never included in the program as required. All of that money should be spent immediately on a state-of-the-art indoor-outdoor program to reduce seawater intrusion as much as possible. Some of it should be used to help residents convert septic systems to rainwater catchment systems when they hook up to the sewer. The county could be paid back when funding is extended basin-wide. In fact, a strong conservation program is needed for a successful basin plan funding. People must know their vote is going to help the basin. The basin plan also needs backup plans. Key measures such as Broderson leach fields and infrastructure programs have uncertainties. If they fail or cause adverse impacts on seawater intrusion, sensitive habitat, and private wells, backup measures must be ready to minimize harm. The stipulated judgment provides for mandatory conservation and limits on water service in emergency situations, but it also allows you to pump more and to avoid the state goal of cutting back 25% on 2013 water use. Your wells, our drinking water, are threatened by the drought and advancing seawater intrusion. Emergency measures should be in place now with triggers to ramp them up, similar to the LOCSD's program. These are fundamental improvements that need to be implemented immediately for the basin plan to be sustainable and for the basin to be sustainable and for residents to support funding. We request that you agendize time-specific objectives, improvements in conservation and reuse, and contingency plans for your next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon again. My name is Jeff Edwards. Mr. Chairman, this community is short on both time and money. I would like everyone to keep in mind that we are not the Paso Robles groundwater basin, and I think we ought to scale our approach accordingly. We ought to scale our budget accordingly. I don't know about the future meetings, but I count a lot of lawyers in this room, and they're charging, and my hope is that for future meetings that we do not have this kind of representation of legal counsel. I'm not sure why they're needed, nor the cost. Mr. Gibson mentioned technical experts. I'm not sure who they are, frankly. I don't really see any. I'd like to pose a handful of questions. What is the relationship of this body and your efforts to the operation of the wastewater facility? Clearly, there's a connection. They have the water we need to reuse. How are we going to do that? What's the relationship? Is it an arm's length relationship? Are there potential conflicts? I've got questions about this entity, and I realize it was under your item 4, but perhaps Mr. Miller can bring back some answers. Does this entity have the power of eminent domain? I don't know. Does this entity have the power to overcome the grant limitations that presented themselves to Golden State Water Company being a private company? Can you really get grants for them as well? Mr. Gibson, I heard you mention a zone of benefit. That means taxes. Is this a foregone conclusion? Who made that decision? I don't remember anybody making the decision that we're going to form a zone of benefit to tax the zone. And more importantly, when is that discussion going to happen? When are we going to talk about actually implementation of the basin plan? What items are we going to do? You heard about conservation. I'd like to echo those comments. I think we've got at least 100 to 200 acre feet per year of additional savings through conservation. When are we going to talk about that? There's a seasonal surface water discharge that a report's being prepared now by Michael Nunley and Associates. When is this group going to hear that report? I think it's critical if we're going to recharge our groundwater basin. Also, and I'd like to close with this, this entity and the urban users of water have the agricultural interests in our valley scared to death. They are scared both, and I will be concluding, Mr. Chairman, I think you know that. They are scared to death that we're going to come and get their water and or their money, and I think we need to make sure they don't believe that. Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson. I guess this is a process question, maybe. The census showed that more than 70% of the working population of this community leaves this community in the morning and doesn't return till late afternoon or early evening. I have concern that we're eliminating the opportunity for a great portion of this community to participate. And I use the example of the survey that was put out for the wastewater project. The lowest percentage of response on that survey was the under 40 age category households, your soccer mom families, blah, blah, blah. If you're going to insist for your convenience of having the meetings in the afternoon, then I ask that they be taped and played. played in rotation on Channel 20 here locally, and when there's openings on Channel 21, for at least those people that, you know, this is a bedroom community that aren't here, can at least see what's going on. I also request, we have two entrances to this community. South Bay Boulevard to the north, and Los Osos Valley Road to the west. That some form of cheap wood sign with next basin committee meeting, and somebody can run out there and change the date with, you know, some type of cover or whatever on a monthly basis to announce to people that there's going to be these meetings, or additionally put it on the sign in front of Van Burden's building there on the corner. If you're going to be asking this community for additional money to pay for this, I think they need to be included at every opportunity, and the opportunities for transparency have to be there. Holding them for your convenience is great, but the community is going to be the one paying for it. And they've got a number of other costs coming down the road. There's people in this community that have no idea what's coming with the lateral connections for the wastewater project. Last comment, tied to the wastewater project, Jeff kind of brought it up. Is this committee at some point going to have or take a stance on what's the condition in the coastal development permit for the wastewater project of the water going to dry land farmers? I think there's a flaw in that condition, and I think it affects what you're eventually going to... can I just finish, Marshall, this sentence?
Yes.
Eventually going to try to accomplish, because at the water board meeting last month, we heard that there may be now 140 acre feet committed for the next 5 years before those contracts can be adjusted.
Thank you, Richard. Next speaker.
Good afternoon, Board. My name is Bill Moylan. I live in Los Osos, and I do support sustainability. I've attended a few meetings with Patrick McGibney and Keith Weimer, and they're honorable men, and they want to save the basin for our community, which is what I'm assuming the Basin Management Committee is going to do. I assume that you're all honorable men, so I expect you to do the honorable thing, which is not just to manage our basin, which means doling out the amount of water that you deem appropriate, but also conserving the water, at least in a sustainable fashion, so that our community can be served by this basin for the next foreseeable decades. So please remember that you do have a duty and an obligation to the community as a whole, not to special interests, but to the community as a whole entity. Thank you.
Any additional speakers? Okay, seeing none, then we'll close public comment. I would like to, I think, just as a qualifying statement here, this is our first organizational meeting. We're still in the organizational process, obviously. So I think a lot of these comments that came up, Rob, are going to be addressed as we move through the organizational process. So I'd like to put those on your table so we can respond to them at the next meeting, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, I think there's some very good questions about the type of entity and the scope of its
well,
and
the mission statement and things like that, and making it understandable to the regular citizen rather than just the people that have been technically involved.
Agreed.
So I'd like to charge you with that. Hopefully you won't quit before the meeting's over.
It comes with a fancy title, Mr. Chairman. So
do we have other comments for? Okay.
Good.
Yep.
No, we're going
okay, seeing no other comments, then we'll adjourn until, what's our next meeting date? January 5th, 1:30, location to be confirmed.